Blog Talk Radio.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. Will be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. This is Purpose Talk Radio, and I am your host, Cindy Freeman. We are here on Friday, July 3rd, 2015, thinking of the observance of Independence Day in the United States here over the weekend, and that it is on a weekend is awesome. We'll get into that in just a minute, because there's some things that are going to find this weekend very interesting in how people celebrate it out here. But you just heard two songs. Our normal theme song, which is called I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity, the vocalist being Jillian Clark, and she, as well as Rachel Grace, and myself being the co-writers of that song. You can find more information about them at truetrinity.com, TRUETRINITY.com. The second song is the Positive News Day song. We are in Positive News Month. For anyone who does not know what that is, you can go to the Facebook page, Positive News Day. Positive News Media. We just renamed that. And what we are doing with that is that as part of it, we are encouraging news media outlets, professional as well as civilian journalists and writers and bloggers to focus on positive news, especially during the month of July, and most importantly on July 15th, which is Positive News Day. You know, I grew up with the adage hearing or through my professional career of bad news sells, or if it bleeds, it leads, and all that fun stuff, and I never listened to that. I have always tried to find something positive to share with the world, and including with this show and Purpose Talk Radio, as I find people living their purpose in a variety of settings. And in that vein, Purpose Talk Radio does come to you every week on Fridays at 3 p.m. on Pacific Time, noon on the Eastern Coast, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. We offer people who are living their purpose, whether it be the person frying the burgers at a fast food restaurant through a Fortune million-dollar company. Doesn't matter if you are living your purpose and want to share with the world how you came to know what that is, how you came to achieve it, and maybe a few tips of what they can do to find and live their own purpose. I'd love to have you be a part of this, part of this show as my guest. You can do that by emailing me directly, coming to our website, sending it through the web, through Facebook, through a whole myriad of ways. The simple is our website is PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. And that is Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at PurposeTalkRadio.com is the email. Also, if you have any products or services you'd like to share with those who are looking to find their purpose, we do have a marketing package over there as well on the website. Oh, what other fun stuff do we have to share with you? So we are looking at for guests. I have one scheduled for the 17th. I am open for next week if someone is available. Would love to have you on. And it's fairly seamless. It's just a conversation that we have here. So I'm going to try to make it a little bit easy. Otherwise, we'll probably share a little bit more about Positive News Month with you. Okay. I think that's pretty much the fun stuff that I have. I am in-house today with our guest, Jeannie Dean, and we're going to be talking about following your inner vision when the support is limited. But before I get into that, I said we're going to talk just a tiny bit more about what's happening out here in Milwaukee, because I know we're making at least national news, if not international news, with a lot of things that are going on once again, this time not with our governor, but with our county executive and our county board, which is, you know, I don't know how we keep out of the news, but which is supposed to be this tiny little metropolitan area. Well, okay, we're not so tiny. All right, I'll give you that. We had a bus drivers work stoppage, they're calling it, as opposed to a strike, for essentially 72 hours right over the holiday. They're supposed to go back to work tomorrow morning. A lot of us that ride the bus are not going to be that sure until we see the buses there. The other thing that we've done, there's a couple other things that happened in the news this last 24 hours. And I'm going to somewhat welcome Jeannie onto the show and have her talk a little bit about some of that stuff, that because she's a little more familiar with that, and then I'll actually introduce you to her, because some of the stuff we are becoming a blueprint for the other parts of the United States. So welcome, Jeannie.
Hi, good to be here, Cindy. I love the concept of your show, and it was a nice opening song. Yes.
So what do we got going on in our fair metropolitan area?
It's almost Independence Day. And this lead is a bleeding lead. Right now, the state of Wisconsin is working on building the state budget for the two-year period. And the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks basketball team was recently sold, and the new owners are insisting on a new arena. The new arena project involves a land grab of 30 acres that have been vacant, but no buyers have been able to afford it. It's valued well over $10 million, and the county executive is offering it to the visiting billionaire Bucks owners for $1. And the arena mall project includes a bar mall, which we already have. We're the largest city in the United States, one of the top five for bars per capita, so we really don't need another ball. bar mall. And last night, in a secret meeting, if you will, and a last minute state budget amendments were added, and the state budget is being fiercely fought, and part of the issue is this arena mall, but our it added two provisions among several that are favoring special interests. One of them gives the county executive unsupervised authority over county land.
Wow.
And another amendment takes it curtails the open records law, which allows, you know, to have a democratic system process where the public and the press can read legislative bills before they're voted on. And these are two of several other things, including ending the 6 day rest day law. You're not supposed to work for more than 6 days without a rest. Wisconsin is becoming the prototype for the Koch brothers' agenda, and our county executive Abel Lee has tried to give away three parks since he's been in office. Humboldt Park, which is a music haven for the city. He's tried to give away O'Donnell Park for a very unfair sale to Northwestern Mutual Insurance Company of the O'Donnell Park, which is overlooking Milwaukee's crown jewel, the Calatrava, an art museum. And it has a walkway to the art museum. And he was going to sell that with a net profit of $2 million to the insurance company.
Well, and they just remodeled that whole area and, like you said, made the area for the around the art museum and the lakefront walk and everything else. So
it's been Google Maps shows the most popular places where people take pictures with their cameras. And in Milwaukee, that O'Donnell Park is really the gateway to the city, and it's the number one spot for photographs. It has several sculptures on it, and this was a true public resource. And so our county executive is on a mission to end the idea of public service. He's also on a project to personally direct five schools within the school district, taking away power from the school district. Along with this arena plan, most cities have tax districts, so the arena that is standing there now, the Bradley Arena, has a tax district. Our arts center, which includes two facilities, has a tax district, and our convention center has a third tax district. Well, part of this arena plan that Abel Lee is backing puts all three of those districts under one district that would be run by the Bucks, literally turning our city into an object of a sports league franchise. This is a major assault on democracy on this almost Independence Day. So if you're listening, reporting, take a look at what's going on here in Milwaukee. This land grab and this arena takeover are phenomenal assaults on a democracy. So yep. That was our lead.
I'll tell you what I'd like to see out of a positive news on that. You know, folks, if you are interested in stuff like this, you know, whether you're in Wisconsin or whether you're in your own government, you know, people have the right to state what they want in their areas, you know. Yes, sports is really big in this area. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's any day that you could see things going on, you know, the new, not so new Miller Park, you know, and it's had its issues over the time with the roof, and we had that being a tax district and everything else for
and
a while.
We're still paying for it,
right,
by the way.
You know, that was supposed to go, I think it was 5 years, and we're going on, I'm not only quoted, but I think we're on 7 years, 7 or 8 years at this point. So it didn't end when it was supposed to because of issues with the roof. And again, it's beautiful. It's got a retracting roof and stuff, and people can enjoy the outdoors when it's nice out. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, when anyone, whether government or otherwise, commits to something, they need to hold to it. you know, as much as possible. I come back and go, oh, I'm sorry, we forgot something, after the project's supposed to be ended. And that's kind of what happened with that. The other issue that Jeannie mentioned was the open records laws. When I was back in, when I was in journalism school, and my understanding is still taught, pretty much anybody can ask for anything under, you know, for anyone that receives tax dollars. You know, in our state, if they receive any tax dollars, they are, you know, considered that they have to honor a request of stuff unless it involves, I think it is, personnel issues as far as the government's concerned. You know, anytime it's affecting money or any of that kind of stuff, we are, as people, allowed to ask for that. You know, we can get the agendas to the public meetings. Those public meetings have to be open. You know, we're granted access to all of that. It's called democracy. And, you know, secret, you know, hidden files and secret actions in the dark, that's what criminals do.
Right.
You know, that's what, sorry, but that's what we got the stuff, you know, some of our entertainers or some of these other people that have been able to hide their tax records and these kinds of things because they are private. You know, that's, like you said, that's kind of where some of these crimes and things come from. And I'm not saying there's any crime going on in the state. I can't nail anybody or do anything else. But
right.
You know, people, we want to keep this stuff open. And if, you know, if it's a concern,
transparency is important.
And you want to know what your government's doing. So take advantage of it. You know, if you don't like what's happening, use your own power. It's not just a journalist's right to do that. It's anybody's right to do that. You can even be incarcerated and ask for the records. You're allowed to do that. So if you're in question of anything that's going on in your government, in your community, take advantage of it.
Well, by closing public records, it allows leadership to make moves in without having a debate, without having participation from the public. And it's clearly intended to stop being monitored, you know, stop that process of democracy, the debate, the discussion, and force changes on.
And that makes some sense. If anybody's interested in what the open records might be for your state, there is a website that lists it all by state. It is naco.org. So if you're interested in your own information, you can jump on that and see what it is. Again, naco.org.
Great.
If you want to participate in the show, I almost forgot to say that. Have any questions throughout the show, want to be part of a chat or whatever, there's a couple ways that you can do that. The first is to go to the blogtalkradio.com/purposetalkradio site, in which you can scroll to the very bottom, and there is a chat room that we have open. I just want to make sure it actually connected today. Yes, it did. Sometimes it has its own little mind to do that. You can call in at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. If you are listening to the show on your computer, again, you can put the stuff in the chat room. Or you can come in on Skype with the icon that's at the top of the screen. The last that I am opening right now is our chat room on the Facebook group, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And there is, and will be in a moment, a discussion pinned to the very top of that group, in which you know, that stays open long beyond the show, whereas the one in the chat room closes as soon as the show closes. So any of those, if you're coming in on the phone and you want to talk, please do make sure that you do hit the one. Otherwise, I'll just expect that you are listening.
So. Let me make one note on the Wisconsin budget legislation. If you are against
these new amendments, do call your state representative or senator and let them know not to pass the current budget.
Sounds good. Okay, and I'm trying to get this room open. Before I actually introduce you, but I think I'll just end up doing the introduction. Let's see, unless there's any other fun stuff that we want to talk about. Okay, well, I met Janie, 3-4 years ago? Something like that.
Yeah.
We were doing a concert of sorts at my church, and the interesting piece of it was she just kind of connected off Facebook, saw one of the ads, I think, that we had out there, and said, hey, I want to be a part of it, and come in with poetry, which we had not, for some weird reason, even though it was a Creative Connections, what we call the Creative Connections, we really didn't have poetry in there. It was all kind of focused on music. And so it was kind of cool that we got the phone call and connected that way, and kind of through Facebook and all that as well, have been able to keep that connection over time.
Right. It's been interesting. That year I was also, well, every year I work on the John Kennedy assassination commemorative. Yeah, it's also upbeat and positive. But it is a project where I'm mixing art and activism and political knowledge, political awareness, advocacy. And that's part of my purpose, I would say, is art that is political and spiritual.
Cool. Okay, well, I would looking at this. Okay, I want to tell you folks a little bit about Janie before we get into the main stuff. You know, what I've put in there, you know, she's done a whole lot of things within the arts, and we'll let her elaborate on some of them as well, but among them being pretty much in connection with all of the major performing areas in the city of Milwaukee over the years. Also the poet, educator, author of 4 books, worked with dance, both in performance and choreography work, costuming, something that she called rock and roll ballet, which I'm still intrigued to hear a little bit more about.
Woohoo!
And compares herself a little bit to Madonna. So, we'll get there. I really want to hear about that part.
I'm Madonna's big sister.
Ah, there we go. Okay.
And now I'm very big.
But, you know, that was part of one of the titles that I considered putting in here is, you know, how to decide, you know, when you're supposed to get bigger and when you stay small. And that had nothing to do with the physical locality of things. So
I love that. I love that idea. And go ahead. Continue.
You know, but she's worked on both film and theater, of course. She's been in this area, a lot with indie film and community theaters particularly. She starts as an adult. She's been with all of the performing things around here, and I won't state her age. That's up to her to do that. I'm very much into spirituality, especially shamanism, some of what we call the new thought type things as well. Right now is teaching English at a college level, but also as an educator, she said, particularly of John F. Kennedy. In the past, has been a computer programmer, but of course, not finding it so rewarding, transitioned into teaching, and particularly because of her love of writing. At this wonderful adult age, at this point, she's learning to write her own website for John F. Kennedy's stuff as well.
Right. I released a book on John Kennedy 2 years or a year and a half ago called The Whole World Stopped. And I just, as a self-published author, got the website launched a year and a half later. Being a teacher, summertime is a good time to get things done. So yes, The Whole World Stopped.
You can check out the website or stuff on Amazon. And I understand there's a used version selling for $50. It's becoming a collector piece.
Oh, nice. There you go. Hope it's autographed and make it worth a while, too.
I think it was someone I gave it to.
There you go. You know, but Jeannie has, you know, at age 18, she was asked to lead a dance school. And leave a dance school.
Right, right.
Oh, real? Oh, so you're one of those.
Right.
They asked you to leave, and yet you've been successful on top of it. See?
So I'm an outsider artist.
We did that over the phone yesterday, and, you know, that's what happens with phones. They're not always as clear as you want. Maybe at that point there was one advantage to being text phones, which I don't normally use. You know, but yet has taught herself to dance and been able to be involved in all of that. So I must say to you that we are working out of Share Goods Coffee House again and Amazon. Occasionally you'll hear a little bit of background sound, and hopefully that's not distracting to anybody. But it's the way that gets to make this, amateur radio and fun radio. That's the word we want. Small scale, looking to be large. And someday that will be the case, especially as we move forward with Positive News Day and all of the things that are going with that. So now officially, welcome, Jeannie.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
Again, it's very seldom that I do the show with my guest sitting next to me. So, this is 2 weeks in a row. I know. It may start to become a pattern. Who knows? So, please let us know in the chat room if there are any problems with the sound, because we're trying to do things, again, over the computer and see how that works, because I finally have had the computer replaced from this past in December. So, you know, the one question that I tend to ask everybody right from the get-go is, you know, I went into a lot of your background, but without going to specifics, what was there a turning point that said, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to focus my life on the arts. I know, you had been a parent and worked in the arts and done this education stuff, but, you know, I think we're kind of focusing a little bit on the art stuff, because that then is more of what you feel was your purpose, as opposed to the stuff that has to pay the bills, which so many artists have to deal with. So what was there? Was there a turning point or a transition point where you said, hey, this is what I've got to do. I know it's in my gut.
With dance, that was a big part of my artistic work. And talking about adversity, I came from a large family, a rural family, and was an emancipated minor at 16. So I was on my own as a teenager, and somewhere around 18, I don't know what the exact moment was, but I felt I had a calling for dance, and I danced all my life, and of course rock and roll was moving this all. And actually, when I was like 7 years old, I started a dance ritual a la like the Greek mysteries, and I would call my seven sisters who are still at home out to the soybean fields in that day in March or April when the soil had just thawed and it was mushy enough and it was very wet, and it was wet enough to have that first dance of the year. We called it the spring mud dance, and we did that for years and years. And some of my more conservative sisters were reluctant, but there was one year they all were there and we waved our arms and got our feet muddy. And so maybe that was the moment where I felt that calling for dance. And later on, I was introduced to a spiritual dance practice called Panurhythmi. This is a shout out to Phyllis and all the Panurhythmi dancers out in the Rila Mountains in Bulgaria, which is where Panurhythmi began. And it's about putting your feet on the earth and dancing in a harmonic way, connecting with the movement of the cosmos and the movement of the earth, and being the intermediary between those elements, and being aware of the time. So Panurhythmi is generally danced from spring equinox to the fall equinox, and the winter is for a time of more internal reflection. And we dance outdoors and in the early morning and perhaps get our feet a little muddy. It's a wonderful tradition, and it helps modulate your whole state of being. It's one of, you know, many spiritual practices that help tune the body. When I was a teenager, I decided dance is my calling. That's what I am meant to do. So, and not having had a single dance class in my entire life, having come from a rural background and with a large family where that kind of extracurricular stuff was just not, there was no time for it. I enrolled in a university dance curriculum, and it was classic ballet and just a smattering of modern, like Martha Graham kind of stuff. And of course, the Isadora Duncan movie had been made with Faye Dunaway, was it? And so she was inspiring a new generation. And I was going along in my first year of dance, and I couldn't do a proper plié, and I'd been studying Tai Chi, and which emphasized bending your knees, and ballet is about straight knees. And I'm not long and lean. And so the dear head of the dance program came up to me at the end of my first year and said, "Please don't come back."
Oh, thank you.
So that was actually kind of discouraging. And I kept dancing, and I evolved the process working with rock and roll music and integrating different forms, bringing in Tai Chi, bringing in, I mean, now we see Nia and we see Zumba, these are, and jazzercise, these are dance forms. And of course, you know, you can't hardly go to a dancercise class without hearing some, you know, new music. Now there's hip hop dance. So this was just a wave that was happening, and it was a little bit ahead of Madonna. And I created these elaborate costumes, and I would dance with different bands, and I was a featured guest in different events, art openings, and with other companies occasionally. And I totally got into the sort of the experience of creating a persona of the dancer and building stories around the rock and roll songs. I like psychedelic, you know, with the bridges where you could have some interpretive dance going on.
Ah, yeah.
Some derivative interpretive. Shout out to Van Morrison, too. So that's the story of the dance, and I still dance. One of the agreements I have with the universe is that at least someone says thank you. Last year at Summerfest, or Irish Fest, one of the bands invited me to come up and dance. They invited all the dancers out in the audience to come, and then the lead singer danced with me. They called us up. So I have been an outsider as an agent of dance, dancing for free. And that means what it sounds like, for free.
So, but yet you teach dance as well? Right?
Well, at one point I had a dance class and for a few years, and it integrated spiritual concepts or interpretive concepts. It was an interpretive dance class, and haven't done that since the 90s or the early 2000s. I had a regular class for a couple of years. In terms of costuming, I think I was ahead of the curve with people like Britney and Madonna. I was doing that when they were still in high school, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
So when you say costuming, I mean, are you talking the skimpy attire or the fancy attire? Or
all of it. All of it, the glitz and the glam. And like for me, I like to do derivative things, like maybe mix a space age look with a Balinese dance look. And create
conceptual. One of the things that I did with dance that I'm very proud of is working with drape, and which is kind of, it harkens to actually Asian style dance, and you know, with the 15 foot sleeve.
Oh, wow.
And you know, and I remember watching by one of the skaters, the one named Bayano, or I'm terrible with names, and he was at this was in the 80s, and he was going to do vampire. He's doing vampire for the Olympics, and he was getting all mushed up in his cape, and it was covering his eyes and getting caught in his face. And I watched him, and I said, this guy did not rehearse with his gear. He probably worked his routine, you know, in a skater suit, you know, and it was great. You know, he's an absolute fabulous skater, but he probably only spent a little bit with the costume. And when you introduce those kinds of elements, it adds another layer of expertise and practice. And I worked with drape. One of my favorite pieces is dancing to Pipeline, surf guitar, as in a belly dancer harem girl outfit with an incredible drape, and catching orange and pink. You know, this Pipeline course is about surfing, but I was turning it into a fire display. And you should see my hands moving right now.
I was going to say, she's sitting here dancing,
yeah.
Dancing in her chair.
So, you know, songs like that, you know, that are, I love the whole business of surf guitar, because it really borrows from flamenco and flamenco styling in terms of the guitar riffs and variations. And that's a very intricate, elaborate kind of melody or melodic line to work with. I could go on about dance.
Yeah. And you know what? And I can handle a little bit of my own. I was never into it in high school. I'd go just because, you know, it was a thing to do. And I took a couple of, I guess, formal ballroom things, but, you know, never really did much with it. You know, I've seen a lot of these ballroom competitions and, you know, Dancing with the Stars and things like that, and it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. There's been a real revival in dance in the last several decades, and it is, I know when the, what do you call it, the reality TV started back, I used to say, why don't they do something good like a dance competition? And you know, Dancing with the Stars has become, you know, one of the top hits in that kind of programming. And it is fun to watch, and they have some wonderful talent on there.
So you were involved in dance. You've also got some things with the, like I said, the choreography. And the costuming, how did you get involved in the theater pieces of that in this area?
Well,
and the film, for that matter.
In high school, I played in the theater department, and, you know, I had some background there. As far as I would, you know, you move in circles, you know, or in the art world, and you meet people, somebody to ask you to do this. Singers have asked me to choreograph them. I've also dressed singers and helped them with the look, mostly women singers. I've done a plays, and it's, you know, it's going back, you know, over a whole lifetime. I'm not, like, actually, you know, there's an incredible community theater in Milwaukee. It's been growing and growing. So there's a lot of people who are working, you know, for scale, which is nothing, you know, doing the good work of keeping the arts alive. And so I've been lucky to participate in different programs. I did have fun working with a couple film companies and spotting locations and doing costuming. A lot of that is really more about assemblage and putting together stuff, you know, especially if it's contemporary. I also worked with a couple one play where we had 18th century costumes, and of course you work with the larger companies and they have big costume departments. But it's having a sense of a look or a color scheme or an attitude about the character, what they're wearing in that scene, things like that, that are part of the process, knowing the performers, what's going to work with their look and what's going on with the director's concept.
Yeah, that's the one I've always found amazing. You know, as a songwriter, I look at things, I see competitions periodically of, you know, they want this kind of song or they want that kind of song. That's one piece. But trying to figure out how to dress somebody, that seems like, wow, that would take even just a little more of a look and an idea to be able to come up with those things.
Like the piece that was the 18th century, there was a character who was meant to be sort of frivolous and at the same time kind of evil or, you know, like benignly bad. And so we found a nice 18th century dress and then we made it overly embellished. So it was kind of goofy, you know, like with a lot of extra flowers, or I think she had a bird in her hat and some other kinds of things, so that she was a bit of a parody of herself in the costume, to, you know, so that she didn't really seem serious. So that's an example of something you can do with the play with a role.
And then we get you, then you get. Okay, so what I think we talked about yesterday is you hit like just about every part of the theater and the film. The set design, the dance, the choreography, the costuming, you know. But yet, I want to say you're still here in Milwaukee where you started on it.
Well, people when I was younger, people said I should have gone to New York and you know, I would have been more at home perhaps. And my interest in clothing seemed kind of innate too. And when I was in high school, I went to a Catholic high school where you had to wear a uniform, and I was busted by the dean of students for violating uniform by fringing my plaid skirt. And I'd sit there in class and pull out the threads, and so I had a 3-inch hula skirt fringe on my plaid uniform skirt. So, and I had an interest in clothing and, you know, the whole resale shop experience. And I am a collector of vintage clothing as well. I have garments for every decade for the last 100 years. And so I have learned a lot about clothing through that interest. And I've been asked to date garments and date objects because of having been a collector. Yeah, so I'm certainly a polymath. A little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Well, and, you know, like you say, you did some of this stuff before Madonna or some of these other people. So what kept you in this area?
What kept me in Milwaukee? I think there were, and I guess I'm going to be spiritual, but I had family here, and I was raising children, and I was married and divorced, and my children were here. And I did cut back on some of my creative work in a decade or so while they were younger. And then there was a point when they were older, and I returned to performing, and I had a new spin on it all. I was the first, I performed dances, the Dancing Wahine with the Electric Black Holes at the Milwaukee Art Museum, the first Friday night. That's a tradition they've been doing now since the 80s, where they have an open house on Friday nights and different theme events. And I was with the band, and it was a surf theme. And I was the
came out on a surfboard. I was carried out on a surfboard, and then I danced. And I'll tell you, I paid very high dues. They gave us a crappy wooden stage that was what you'd call just raw wood, and it wasn't finished in any way whatsoever. And I danced barefoot a la Isadora Duncan. And I came home with 50 splinters in each of my feet, and I sat the next day pulling out splinters and soaking my feet. You know, so, you know, I know ballet people and dancers often talk about things that happen with your feet dancing. And I've had other injuries performing, too. So I returned to it with this triumphant arrival on a surfboard. And... and then with splinters. So I did work with performance work when my kids were older. And you were asking me about what?
Why you stayed in this area as opposed to
why didn't I
going to New York or California or, you know.
I had spent time in California, and I was invited to join one of the longest running communes in California, Cauliflower Commune, with my sister Maureen, and I went out there. And we stayed a few weeks, and it was a very interesting experience. But there was this, we were part of also working on creating here. And we had a women's commune, and we were very active with activism in women's issues. And that was one of the reasons I came back, was to continue working with that. I wrote a play then that was performed for International Women's Day on great women of history. And talking about inspiration, I wrote a part for the flyer, Amelia Earhart. And I had, of course, in my stash of vintage clothing, I had a leather jacket, and I had a leather helmet or leather flyers, uh-huh. leather hat, and then a white scarf and jodhpurs, you know, riding jodhpurs. So I dressed up the character Jessica Piaia in an Amelia Earhart outfit, and we had Victoria Woodhull and, of course, Susan B. Anthony and Margaret Sanger, these different characters in the play. And Amelia Earhart came out and did her piece on flying. And she left town that spring, and I didn't see her for 5 years. And she came back to Milwaukee and said, "Jeannie Dean, you changed my life. I've been making a living doing an Amelia Earhart reenactment out in Philadelphia for the last 5 years. I go to schools and I present Amelia Earhart and tell her life story and I'm inspiring kids to girls, you know, to be adventurers and strong women. And so that was a good experience.
Wow.
Using art as activism. And I mean, if I feel personally like, God, what have I done with my life? Well, that's one thing I can say. I hope Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and that's God. You know, I guess that's one of the things that I hope the show does. It inspires somebody to do what they're meant to do. And, you know, that is one of your claim to fame. Whether, you know, I don't know if it ever gets out there in the public or whatever. She may or may not say that. But, you know, you get to keep that in your heart and soul and know that somebody's doing something because of what you did.
And at that time, cool. working to support feminism and women's advancement of women, I mean, this was a time when it was okay to beat your wife. And in that time period, this had been in the late 70s, I was one person, along with another woman who I later met, like 15 years later, who were allowed to interview Police Chief Breyer of Milwaukee, who was at the time an extremely conservative, old school, and interviewed no one about the issue of domestic violence. And I was in college, and I was working on a project
called the Take Back the Night, which now is again a
national thing.
Yeah, and so I did an interview, and he wrote, and they said I couldn't do it in person, but I wrote him 5 questions about this issue, and he did write back through his secretary or something and answered them. But the woman I met later was head of the Republican Party, and she also wanted to know what he was going to do about domestic violence and women. And it's kind of a different world, because in our commune we took in people, and there was a woman who came to us who had been assaulted by her husband, and she divorced him, and he had came at her at her house once or twice. And the third time, she took a knife and stabbed him mortally. And the police looked at the case under those circumstances, and they did not press charges. They called it self-defense. Nowadays, it would be hard for someone to prevail with that situation.
Right.
But we were involved in changing those kinds of laws, and you know, where a woman can go in her workplace and not have to be subjected to catcalls and all of that. One of the things that happened was several of the women who lived in our house were volunteers on the women's helpline. And we took in a woman who was a prostitute who was a witness to a mafia murder in Milwaukee. And they called us and said, "Where can she, do you know anywhere she can go?" So that was an interesting experience. I mean, I thought I should write a play about it, the prostitute and the feminist, because there she was. Jessie came trotting up our stairs with her makeup bag, her wig box, and her negligee, and set up in the room off the living room. And it was quite a meeting of for all of us. Another thing that came out of that was the need for a shelter. And so one of the people, Nova Clyte, helped advocate with, and you know, we started becoming more politically savvy with city and grant organizations, and that led to the founding of the Sojourner Truth House, which is still a shelter for battered women.
And the mainstay in Milwaukee. When somebody says, "Where do we go?" That's the name that comes up. I mean, there are other ones out there. There are some smaller ones. There are some in Waukesha County as well. But, yeah, when you hear somebody says, "Where do I go?" you call Sojourner first.
Right.
And,
so I'm still involved in causes. Like right now, it's the Stop the Arena Mall. And save public land that's being attacked, you know, is at risk of being given away. And at the same time, using art to enliven us and to tell the story. My book, The Whole World Stop, is political poetry, and it's on the assassination of John Kennedy. It started out when I was perhaps in that time period in the 80s or the late 70s, with a poem I call The Abortion of the American Dream. And part of the idea of that poem is that the protest movement seems to be linked to, at least from my being a later baby boomer, this unexpressed outrage of seeing democracy assaulted so vividly with the killing of the president.
So why pick him when there were a lot of people involved in JFK years? And
oh yeah, there were. I did a piece on assassination. I call it the era of diplomacy with a gun. You know, there was that CIA group called Executive Action, and it meant execution. You know, Executive Action was executing an executive off from his office. You know, people like our Benz in Guatemala in 1954, Salvador Allende in Chile in the 1970s, the elected president in Iran in 59, was it?
and you know this, and, you know, the assassination of the elected leader of Vietnam, same year as Kennedy, and then of course, you know, that was exported assassinations, and in 1963 it came home to our president, our duly elected president, and then we saw it again in 68 with Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. These were assaults on democracy.
So obviously, because you're in the States, I suppose it's the most logical that you pick the state president at the time. You know, but you're also involved in issues that do go international. So have you ever looked at some of those things and some of the women? I'm going to back it up a little bit, and then we'll come back to the Kennedy piece. You know, if you look at the women's rights in Somalia, the Philippines, or some of the stuff that's going on there, I may be taking you off guard on this because we haven't talked about it. You know, because there, or is, you know, do you feel at this point, and you know, there's a lot of times you got other people going overseas and going, I got to do it overseas, and you ask them how come they're not doing it at home. You know, are you looking at some of that stuff overseas as well, or do you focus in your homeland at this point?
Well, I am focused here, and we have a lot of issues right here in Milwaukee in the last 5 years with the governor attacking unions and my union worker. I have seen some great documentary on some of the things going on internationally. There was a piece on the shift for allowing abortion. And places like Ireland, Poland, Spain, South America, where abortion has been illegal. And the ship, right now I can't think of the name, but it was this ship where it was out in international waters off the port of, you know, major cities where women could go, and then they would do this as a almost theater to bring this issue to the public, and we're able to be instrumental in getting laws passed and changed, for instance, in Ireland.
Well, I think that's pretty cool. You know, you've talked about a lot of things in Milwaukee that I've heard of over the years.
Sure.
Didn't know you were involved in them, which
yeah.
is interesting. I've grown up here in the suburb of Menomonee Falls. And yet, you know, you said we started talking about some of this is being small but being large at the same time.
Right.
And, you know, so I find it interesting that you've kind of, I don't want to say this, you know, been able to have such a huge impact on your local area here and things that change. And, you know, you seem like you're a little bit of an underground person, too. Because, you know what, like I said, I've never had a name, your name associated with a lot of this stuff. It's cool to hear that now.
I think it's perhaps that I'm maybe a polymath, and I pictured my life as being participating in many small circles overlap, and that I'm not just in one tight thing, you know, that I'm not just doing one thing. And remember that one movie about the guy who goes out on the dude ranch, and the dude ranch guy says, do one thing. I'm the exact opposite. I was involved in land preservation later on in the 90s. You know, we fought for 10 years to keep Humboldt Yards, which is a Native American site. And there's a lot of lessons learned with that. And, you know, so I'll step in. And for that experience, in terms of, it was like we were a tag team. You know, people would work on it real hard for 2 years and they get burned out. And then somebody else would come in and bring in new energy and enthusiasm and give what they had. And then somebody else would, you know, trade places. There was a point when we got the state legislative bureau involved to stop the developers. And it's interesting climate because that was 20 years ago now, maybe 15, and the State Legislative Bureau was a resource that you could go to and bring up public issues, and the state would intervene. And now they shut that, Walker shut that group down. That doesn't exist anymore. So like, we're working, you know, the new environment in Wisconsin is a climate where you cannot, like with this new bill or this new amendment, what redress do we have to fight closing the open records law? I mean, it's an absolute violation of this public trust, the principle of democracy. We don't even have a legislative action bureau anymore to go to. And the head of the Supreme Court was just ousted out of a position in another power grab move, so that the Supreme Court is now, you know, Republican aligned and Walker aligned. But anyway, when we were fighting the public land, we were able to bring them in, and we had court orders. And at one point, the developers and the city planning people said, okay, we'll have a citizens advisory group to advise what the land use for this, and Native Americans were very much at issue with, because the site was known to have been where there had been Indian mounds over at the Humboldt Yards overlooking the Mohawk River. And the developer said, okay, we'll have this citizens committee, but Gene Dean can't be on it because I had written so many strong letters to the the state legislative bureau, and I had wrote pieces challenging the archaeologists who were saying, no, there's no proof that there were archaeological sites here, and I brought in another archaeologist, and so I did due diligence with that process. One thing I learned that was very frustrating is that the big companies have, you know, a lot of money to spend on lawyers, and they can keep coming back. And grassroots movements have real challenges in, you know, the lack of resources to stand up. And now we're looking at Monsanto and the whole food, genetically modified food, and Monsanto is trying to pass laws to make it illegal to challenge Monsanto. And so, yeah, and like I said, we are in a coffee shop, so, you know, you're hearing all kinds of stuff going on, and this is the time, I guess, they're grinding their coffee and making their smoothies and having a great time, so I hope that isn't too distracting for you. And I don't want to keep them from doing their stuff, but it was just pretty interesting. We got the one right next to us, and he didn't know it. So, you know, it's a great place to be. I love this home environment where we get to broadcast.
I think your program is so important because, from the Buddhist view, life is difficult. There is suffering, and how do we keep inspired? You know, how do we go forward, you know, and the obstacles are there, right. No doubt about it.
Exactly. That's fun. It's okay. So before we, I kind of want to make a couple more things here on, you know, what you might suggest to those who are trying to find their purpose in, you know, whether it be government or their community or whatever, and figure out what size, so to speak, to be and where to draw their own boundaries. I'd like to invite people again, if you'd like to call into the show, you can do so at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. We do have one guest in the chat room. You know, if you want to participate, you got to get a name, folks. We don't know who you are and can't get you to comment in there, but that's okay. Anybody else with a name, you can feel free to comment on the show. The other way you can do this is the Purpose Talk Reading Conversations group on Facebook, which does exist beyond this broadcast. If you call in or you come in on Skype, please hit 1 so that I know you do want to speak. Otherwise, I will presume you are just listening to the show today.
Would you like to hear a poem?
Sure, we'll hear a poem. How's that? Do that for us.
moment here as a break in.
This is from the Whole World Stuff, and it's called John John's Legacy. And the Whole World Stuff's about John Kennedy and the assassination. And John John refers to his son. Why would John John, John Kennedy Jr., son of the assassinated president, why would John John Jr., son of the silent, stalwart Jacqueline Bouvier, brother of Caroline, serious survivor strategist, why would John John, son of Jovial Jack, the assassinated leader of the free world, gunned down like a criminal in the street, why would John John name his magazine? Why would John Jr., son of the assassinated president, name his magazine after, name his publishing testament, his one legacy? Why would John Kennedy Jr. name his magazine George? The name George. Why George? Who's George? Oh, yes, great George. He must mean George Washington, the father of our country. Not that George rat bastard, king of dirty old England, George. Yes, Washington, George Washington. What does John John Kennedy Jr. say about the assassination of his father, 35th President of the United States, President John F. Kennedy? No, he meant the good George, not the other one, you know, the bad one, not the George H.W. seen on Dealey Plaza, World War II's youngest fighter pilot, or so they say, and CIA action man, tactical leader of the Bay of Pigs, foiled operation, George, later named head of the CIA to stop the Senator Church House Select Committee assassination hearings in 1979. George, the one who made a fortune on the spoils of the Kennedy tragedy, not the bad George, the one who fathered a presidential dynasty, not the name you can't say. Is John Kennedy Jr., son of the assassinated president, hiding the name in plain sight on the cover of his magazine? Is he telling us something to look beyond the triangle hat, George? Why would John Kennedy Jr. name his magazine George? Why not Jack? What was he saying? What's it mean? Is he hiding something in plain sight? What would John Kennedy Jr. say about the assassination of his father if he had a chance to speak?
That's great.
Thank you. Oh.
So
there's more like that.
The arts. The arts. If people are interested in the arts or anything on their purpose, what would you like to suggest to them to get to where they want to figure out what the size they want to be? If we go back to that again. Meaning all kinds of different directions on that.
Yeah.
But
the first thing I would say is to listen to that inner voice, that inner knowing, to follow, you know, your inspiration, to follow your guidance. I'm an intuitive, and I learned somewhere in my 20s, 30s, that those messages actually are telling me something. And I trust them now. If somebody says, oh, we can give you an appointment with so-and-so, and I hear that name and it doesn't sound right, I'll say, oh, excuse me, can I have an appointment with someone else? Can I not have that ticket, please? So listen to your insight. Listen to that voice within. And sometimes that might mean you might miss something someone's telling you.
Mm-hmm.
but of course participate in the world.
Okay. Well, we usually have people, our guests, suggest an affirmation as well, if you have one of those. Otherwise, I can come up with one out of what you said.
I would say that, and I am a teacher, and one of the things that I work with my students is that I know. And we live in a world where indeterminacy is popular. And following your inner voice means not just conforming and going along with what's popular. So I don't know is popular. And it's very popular to say what she said as an answer when, you know. So I say to my students, when you ask them, you know, when I ask a question and people say, I don't know, I say, I do. And I was talking to one of my students recently who was in the military reserve, and she was talking about part of her code, and she said, well, I feel like I'm a leader, and that if there's if the ship's going down, I will know what to do. And I thought that's I respect that. So trust yourself and believe that you know what to do.
Very simple affirmation of I know. Wow. Yeah, pretty cool. Okay. Is there anything specific that we did not cover that you want to talk about? And then I'll have you tell people how to get hold of you.
Write your senator, write your congressman, call them, email them, tell them to not pass the vote. I mean, not pass the budget.
Well, again, we are more than Wisconsin. We're international, so, you know, we got to think a little more broad than that here.
Fair enough.
So how about, you know, that's a good point, though, you know, and I think that's actually a point for anybody anywhere, though. So to pass, you know, the budget that you want and pay attention to the things that you want in your community. Anything else you need to go to?
Oh, one thing that inspires me is recycling.
Ah.
Having a compost bin, and that I personally believe that when I recycle organic garbage, I am saving pennies for the planet. So helping to keep the soil rich and alive, and that it's like putting money in the bank.
Okay. And so how do people get a hold of you if they would like to do that?
Well, my new website, The Whole World Stopped, is available. I'm also on Facebook, Jeannie Dean. And
The Whole World Stopped, what's the rest of
.com.
Okay. And I am putting some of this in the Purpose Talk Radio conversation thread for anybody that needs that.
There is a Facebook group called No Arena Mall, if you're local. Pass
okay.
it around. It's a clearinghouse for people to send updates on our reading legislative proposed legislation.
Okay.
A site for racism. No Arena Mall. Beer Mall.
Beer Mall.
Okay, have your whatever arena, but don't put a damn mall in it and charge it for it.
Okay.
Go buy a own mall like everybody else has. Not have it subsidized.
All right. Cool. I think we've pretty much wrapped this baby up as far as the interview part of this is all concerned. You connect through the Purpose Talk Radio Facebook page as well as Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. Also, if you have any information, I'll give you a last-minute chance to call in, folks. Please do, if you want to, press the 1 on your keypad on your phone or your Skype, so that I know you want to talk. And the number being 347-205-9074, because I do see somebody on the board, but I don't see a hand up there, so I don't know if you want to talk, want to listen. You know, and thank you to those who have listened. If you wish to hear this show again, then you can do it with the link that is in, you know, the same link that you got it at, Purpose Talk Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can find the link directly on Jeannie's page, my page, Purpose Talk Radio page, Positive News Day page, excuse me, Positive News Media. I got to remember to call. See, I changed things because of repurposing it. You got that recycling there, repurposing something. And giving you the opportunity to do that. So there's links on all those pages if you'd like to listen to this show again and or share it with your family, friends. We do broadcast every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, noon on the East Coast, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please do get a hold of me by sending an email to Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at purposetalkradio.com, P-U-R-P-O-S-E-T-A-L-K-R-A-D-I-O.com, or go to the website and send it through that or the Facebook contacts. If you'd like to share positive news, either that you've written, that you've seen in your community, as we send out press releases this week, inviting the media to be a part of Positive News Day and Positive News Month, please do share those over on the Facebook page as well, the Facebook Positive News Media. And then we will be selecting a few things out of that and sharing them over what is soon to be the website for that of PositiveNewsMedia.org. Shall we bring your friend on here? You think she wants to talk?
Open it up.
Okay, well, we'll pick this line up and see what we got here before we close out. I'm bringing you on the phone live. You are live on the air with Purpose Talk Radio. Tell me you've got something to say to Jeannie. Ah, she went away.
Oh.
Okay, then. We'll have to...
Somebody's too shy.
Somebody's too shy. Jeannie was able to recognize that number and... So we were doing that, but that's okay. That's fine. And let's see. The positive. I'm gonna on the way out of the show today. I'm going to play the Positive News Day theme song again, followed by the theme song for Purpose Talk Radio, which is "I Am Who I Am." Both songs finishes back. Both songs being True Trinity songs, as well as mainly the first one being written by Jillian Clark and myself, and then the other one being the True Trinity song with Rachel Grace, who was on the show last week, myself and Jillian. You are in area code 608. You are on the air live with Purpose Talk Radio since you are calling back in. I'm presuming and hoping that you've got a question or comment for Jeannie and or us today. There, I do need to turn up the volume in order to hear you. So, are you there? 608 area code. Hello? Yes. Did you have a question for Jeannie? Nope, she's not talking. Okay, I guess we'll put you back on hold.
Okay.
Well, thanks, caller, for calling in.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have to have everybody talking. That's fine. So, having said all of that, I think we are about to close out this show. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next Friday. Same time, same channel, and maybe same location. Who knows? And as we close it out, I wish you all soul blessings.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. Will be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.